Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, September the 22nd. Fall is knocking at the door. Racing action this weekend. Playoffs begin for NHRA and NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. But first, I'd like to talk about a little something different because everybody usually watches that. And joining me now on the air is driver of the Monster Dalmatian. And a little side work. We'll talk to her about that in a little bit. Miss Cynthia Gauthier. Cynthia, welcome back to Garage Talk Live. Yeah, little technical difficulty. Difficulty there. Let me see if I can do this again. Cynthia?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, there we go.
Yeah,
Sometimes these computer-generated studios are a little iffy. If the weather's a little messy out there, who knows what goes on with the interwebs, as they call them. Welcome back to the show. It's been a little bit since we had you on last. You were plying your trade in Pennsylvania, and you've been a busy young lady ever since then.
Yeah, it's been a really busy year for me, and I did my last show last weekend, so it was a really great year for me.
So you actually got to go to Europe and race, do I guess a little side work with El Toro Loco, and how was that, making that trip over there?
That was a hell of an experience in Philippines. So first time in Asia, it was great. New culture, new truck, new crew. It was pretty cool. I enjoy driving the El Toro. It's an awesome truck to drive. And I did really great, and I really hope I get to go back next year.
Well, I've seen usually when they do the Monster Jam commercials on TV, they show the El Toro Loco, and they show a young lady pictured with it. Is that you in all of those shots?
It's Becky at McDonald. She's the driver, the only woman who usually drives the El Toro. And once in a while, other driver, other woman just fill in when there's any availability. And they were looking for a girl, so I got to fill in for her.
Well, that's pretty cool. You get to travel across the world a little bit. And
yeah, my truck is actually in Australia.
What's it doing in Australia?
Yeah, after Philippines, my Dalmatian was there as a display truck. And after Philippines, they sent all the truck for big tour in Australia. So my truck is going to be there, but it's going to be Candice Jolly going to drive it.
Oh, it's going to miss you when it gets home.
Yeah, she's got it. Probably she's a pretty good driver, so I'm excited to see her drive my truck.
That's pretty cool. We'll have to get some videos and post them up on your Facebook page, and I'll put them on my Garage Talk Live page and share them around.
I sure will.
Weird. So what do you do during your downtime now? If somebody offers you a chance to go out there, you're just going to jump on it?
Well, with the off-season, we do a lot of training. Monster Jam have a Monster Jam University. So we get to go a couple of times during the summer, and we get to train with the Monster Jam truck and try the new stuff and new track. I might go back, I think maybe in October, November. So I'm excited about that. And I still train really hard at the gym, still try to stay in shape.
How important is staying in shape to drive a monster truck?
I mean, everybody has their own opinion about it. I think it's really important because we travel a lot. Sometimes we don't have a lot of sleep because the, you know, the travel and the time we get there with the show. Sometimes we don't have time to eat right. So I think being in shape is really important. And I think it make better a better show because I get to go harder and my body can take it. So.
And I know last time we had you on, we had a video of you doing the burnout competition with Grave Digger, and you smoked them. Have you won any more since then? Because, you know, Monster Jam is tough to follow because, you know, there's no real TV schedule, so you basically got to go out to the arenas or the tracks and venues that host it. So.
Yeah, if you can always follow the results on MonsterJam.com, but since then, I think I won, like, a racing and I think maybe another donut, but it's been really tough because I've been doing show with really good drivers, so it's I have to step it up. So I feel I'm getting better in the truck, and I'm starting really driving harder too. But my donuts are always really good. This weekend I did. People were really amazing how fast I can tour a donut.
That's pretty good. Let me give out that website, monsterjam.com, if you want to check out Cynthia's Donuts. And this way we get our listeners to go over there, hopefully after the show or after your segment anyway, because we don't want them to tune away.
Yeah.
Traveling around a lot. I mean, do you fly or do you drive with your truck? Like some like other sports, the drivers fly in and somebody hauls their cars or race equipment around. Is it different with the Monster Jam series?
Oh, usually every driver fly just because we have a lot of media to do before each show. So sometimes we get there before the truck. But it all depends. Sometimes I drive if it's a close show for me. But most of the time we all fly. And so it gives us a little bit more time at home, too, so to do all our laundry and go at the gym. But, yeah, most drivers fly.
Well, that's pretty good. Well, I see you're actually looking to move to Florida, getting out of the colder weather. So if you want to advertise your house on the air, let them know which realtor they can contact.
Well, it's my boyfriend's house, but... yeah, we've been looking to go in Florida because we love racing, and during winter it's really hard to race anything out in Ohio, and so I would like to start racing go-kart. That's one of my goals next year, so I would enjoy to be in Florida and get to, you know, during winter, get to race something else in the Monster Jam truck.
That's going from one extreme to the other, isn't it? You're going from this big, huge vehicle that wings are bigger than you into a go-kart, which is something really a full-grown adult has a trouble fitting into.
Yeah, it's I figure out with the years that any kind of racing helps. I feel like every time I get to race something, I get better in the Monster Jam truck. So I really want to race anything I can. Because I love to try new things. So I was racing a buggy this year. It's a short course. It's almost like motocross, but in a buggy. And I feel like I got better in the monster truck because of the buggy. So I wanna try something different and see if I can bring new skill in the competition.
That's pretty good. Well, buggy, you figured. There's a lot more, and you do a lot more bouncing around, so I guess that would get your body in shape or doing those wheelies and jumping over and crushing the cars.
Yeah, the buggy is pretty rough. I mean, it's open wheel, so it's hard to hit anybody because you can go over the bar pretty fast. But, yeah, the buggy was really good. It was really fun. It's shifting, so it was a different driving. But I enjoy anything that I can be in a cage. I like it. It's just, I feel safe and I feel like I can give everything I have. That's why I quit doing motor injury and everything. I didn't have as much fun that I used to have.
Yeah, that is a go-kart doesn't have a cage, I don't think. It's motorcycle.
Yeah, it is, but it's still a pretty safe sport. It's rare you hurt somebody got hurt really bad in a go-kart. It's really low, so it's really stable, and they're rarely flipped over, so.
That's pretty good. I think one of the reasons I bought the house I bought in here in Virginia is because it has a little oval around the house, and I thought I would one day get some go-karts and race my wife around the yard.
Nice. I would love to have a track at my house.
Well, then you might want to think about getting a place with a lot of land.
Yeah. Yeah, my neighbors are going to like me.
Well, if you have a lot of land, they won't see you, so you can do anything you want.
Yeah, I actually have a little motocross track at my house right now, and every time I drive it, I feel my neighbors are getting mad at me.
Well, too bad. Well, you don't have to worry about them pretty soon.
Yeah.
What do you think about drag racing? Because then you can practice your acceleration.
Yeah, and drag racing is actually really good for the big show at the end of the year, the World Final. We actually race with tree lights, so drag racing would be a really good experience for me because we only do it once a year, and it's in Vegas. And everybody that are quick with the lights usually do really good because a second just makes the whole difference. So, yeah, I would love to try that one day.
And you can just go to your local drag strip, because I'm sure there's a few of them in Florida as well as, and take your streetcar and practice on the tree. But if you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a really big fan of going fast in a street vehicle just because I have a lot of my friends got in an accident. And I'm just, when I drive in the streets, I'm pretty slow. Not even close to how I drive in a monster truck.
Well, that's for sure. But I'm saying at least at the drag strip, it's controlled. You wear your helmet.
Yeah,
a helmet.
Exactly. Yep.
Even though it's your car, and you can get our license, we used to drag race other people at the traffic lights, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a big pickup truck. It doesn't go really fast, but yeah, I should try to get a car.
You have a lot of equipment to haul. Don't you have a get-around-town car that you use, maybe something like a Mustang or something like that?
No, I just have a big pickup truck. I just always drove a pickup truck. I just feel it's so safe. When I'm in a car, I just feel unsafe in a road. I don't know. I grew up on a farm, so I don't know. We always had a pickup truck, so...
Yeah, that's true. Pickup trucks come in handy, especially four-wheel drive ones.
Yeah, mine is a four-wheel drive. It's pretty lift, so it's a fun pickup truck to drive.
Do you have the big mud tires? You go mud bogging with your pickup truck?
A lot of stuff they do around here. The people probably doesn't like when I go in the mud and go in the street after. There's mud everywhere.
Around here, it's commonplace. You'd feel right at home in southwestern Virginia here, because everybody goes mud bog and there's the pickup trucks.
Yeah, it's pretty big out here, too. We have every Friday night, they have a truck night, and you can bring your own vehicle and go in the mud. I don't have that back home, so when I moved in the United States, it was big change for me. I never saw, people just put their pickup truck in a pile of mud, so it's pretty cool.
Man, if you didn't come home dirty, you were just a spectator. Even that, even
yeah,
they get dirty.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I better say hi for my friend Kristen. She said to say hi to you, so So yeah. I say that good on you. In case she listens to the show, she follows you a lot. She's enjoying Disney World with her son. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, Monster Jam is having a new tour. They started last year. It was a Speedster and ATV and Monster Jam truck. And they started that tour this last year. And this year, I really want to be part of it. So I don't know yet if I get a chance to be a part of it. But it's a pretty cool experience. You get to race two different elements. So that's something new that Monster Jam started, and people really enjoy it. So I'm waiting to see if I get a chance to do that tour next year. But it's pretty fun. So it's a lot of work.
It sounds like a triathlon of dirt.
Yeah, it's almost this, because if you think about that, from the ATV to the monster truck, you have to change gear. So you have to be quick between, after you're done with the Monster Jam truck, you have to change gear and go to your ATV and change gear and go to your Speedster. And so it's a lot of action, but I mean, I'm young and I have a lot of energy, so that's something that I would enjoy doing it.
And well, that's one thing to do when you're young. When you get around to be my age, you say, I'll just stick to the one thing.
Yeah, I'll just do the Monster Jam truck.
And it's big. And
yeah, this weekend it was on a concrete, so it was the first time I did it's like an asphalt concrete kind of compound, and
wow.
it was at a speedway, so it was first time for me. I was pretty nervous because it's really hard to not roll just because your tire grips so much, and we have those awesome DKT tires, and they grip a lot, so I was pretty nervous, but it was awesome. I got to do a crazy save. I went on one wheel, and I thought I was going backward, and for some reason, I saved it. It came back, and the crowd they love it. It was pretty fun.
Sounds like it. Is there a video anywhere? Is it on monsterjam.com?
No, I can't find one. Maybe it's going to come on YouTube or something, but that's why I love when the fans share any video or picture, but I did not find any. I hope I get to see it, because in the truck, it's never still the way it looks, so I wish I could see a video so I could see what I did.
Well, you gotta get a team photographer for Pink Sprocket.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Get one of those fancy-dancy cameras that takes a video, and you can cut little stills out if you want for the frozen shots, like your wheelies, or you're sitting there in midair and
yeah,
post them on get a YouTube channel. We'll get some social media marketing for you.
Yeah, that would be good. Sometimes people put like GoPro inside, so they see how much they move, or they see their reaction, so it helps. Every time after a show, I go on social media and I try to find video and pictures, so it helped me. I see how my suspension react, and I can get better from seeing video. So it really helped when fans and, you know, friends, they take video and picture. I'm always looking for it, so.
Yeah, we'll have to get you, if you don't have a PR rep, maybe that's what their job. Just film you on the track, doing burnouts, doing your jumps, put a GoPro camera in the truck.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'll work on it for next year.
That would be really great. So that's good. This year's over, so you get a chance to relax.
Yeah.
You get to Florida and go looking for a go-kart track.
Yeah. Yep, it's good. I already find a couple. They look pretty fun, so.
So how do you go from a farm girl in Canada to
Florida.
A monster truck racer. Well, you said it was you went from motocross, and what made you decide to say, well, I'll go from the smallest thing on two wheels to the biggest thing on four wheels?
It's everybody has their own story, but my parents knew I was kind of special from the beginning because we never do stuff like everybody does. And I studied to be a CPA, so it was not something close from driving monster jam truck, but I started racing motocross when I was in school, and that's where I got hurt, and I got the chance to ride the buggy, that off-road short course race, and I really enjoyed being in the cage. And in the same year, I saw a monster jam show, and I enjoy it so much, the way, you know, how nice the show was. And I was like, I want to be part of that. I want to do it. And it took me 3 years to get to have a seat. You know, I was sending email, and I got the opportunity to test drive and did pretty good. So I think that's what helped. But yeah, it was, my story is really different than most of people.
I guess so, but it's just kind of different to how, you know, you said you studied to be a CPA, and
yeah,
you like the outdoors and motocross, and you're getting hurt, kind of, nothing feels good about bouncing around on the ground by yourself and worrying about something landing on top of you.
Yeah, and what's so funny is my parents always wanted to race and do a living out of it, and you know, my parents are not racers, so they were like, no, you have to go to school. And I'm so glad I went, and I enjoy every year I was in school. But the passion was so strong. It's something that, it's not everybody that has, but the passion was so strong. I was ready to give up everything for racing. And that's why every time there's kids come to me and ask me how they can become a monster jam driver, I say, it's pretty much how hard and how strong you want it. It's something that you're going to have to work really hard, but it can happen.
And it did for you. Is now you're one of the stars of the series with your own special design truck, the Monster Mutt Dalmatian. Well, Cynthia, it's a pleasure having you on. We'll have to do this again down the road a piece, maybe before the next season. If you want, hit me up on Facebook and let me know if you want you're going to be doing and you want to promote it. So we'll get you back on. And in the meantime,
I sure will.
Take care
now.
Thank
you for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. And good luck in your move. I know it's hectic, especially going from one state to another. I went from New Jersey to Virginia. That's 500 miles. So
well,
you're going a lot further. I know how hectic that can be. So,
thank you.
So, well, we'll be talking to you, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you have Cynthia Gauthier, driver of the Monster Mutt Dalmatian. Go to monsterjam.com. Check out some of her videos. The one I saw, you could probably go on the Facebook page at Garage Talk Live. It was her doing a burnout. It was in Pennsylvania when she was there, and it was against Gravedigger, and she kicked his ass. But anyway, in a few minutes, we're going to have NHRA Top Fuel driver and countdown contender Sean Langdon. He's had a weird season this year. We'll be talking to him, and then we'll be wrapping up the Chase Race 1 and the NHRA's Z-Max Dragway event that for their playoffs. So we'll be talking to him a little bit. I know the Truck Series, all three series were in action in Chicagoland this weekend. So we'll get in action a little bit after that. But I'd like to talk to Sean because what happened at the beginning of the year was kind of strange. And you're part of one of the strongest teams in Top Fuel. And then your main backers pull out, right before the season. So then you got to scramble. So we'll get to more of that. Anyway, if you want to throw in a quick call, the number is 646-649-1899. And as far as the chase goes, so it begins. So we've got one guy moving on. That's Denny Hamlin. So we have the race at Loudon coming up, where the next winner will move on to round two. And then you have Dover, which will be round three. That winner, of course, will move on. And then everybody else on points, the bottom four will be eliminated. So we'll try to get Gary Camp, Director of Communications for the Monster Mile, my old home track, and get him to talk about the upcoming race and how Dover has evolved from chase race number two to chase race number three to the eliminator race, so in the challenger round. So to more of that in a little bit. Right now, we'll take a little break and be right back after these words.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. And as we make our way to chase race number two, let's take a look at some of the action. Anyway, well, the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series schedule is out, and they kick off their season February 11th through the 14th at the Circle K NHRA Winter Nationals in Pomona, and then go to Phoenix weekend after. Then they have, pretty close to 2-3 weeks off, where they'll head to O'Malley Motor Oil Gator Nationals in Gainesville, Florida. And April 1 through 3, it's the NHRA Nationals in Las Vegas. I wonder what it's like going to Las Vegas. I have to get out there because Las Vegas Motor Speedway is out the heart and the entertainment capital of the world, I would say, with all the casinos and stuff going on. And then after the NHRA Nationals at the beginning of April, they come down to like the third week in April and come down to the four wide Nationals at ZMAX, which is where they were this past weekend. And that's another one I have to put on the bucket list, the four wide Nationals. Matter of fact, our guest competed in both of those. So anyway, I'd like to welcome to the show. Driver, top fuel driver in the NHRA, former top fuel champion, looking for that quest again. The one and only Sean Langdon. Sean, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Scott, good to be back.
You had a weird kind of season. You're all set. You're in one of the top teams in top fuel with Alan Abi. And right before the season, you would call him the Sheik, and his backing just pulls out on you. What kind of shock was that when, you know, you first got that news?
Well, it was definitely a shock, something that we weren't prepared for. It was within the first couple days of January, and at that time we were prepared to go the following week down to West Palm Beach to go testing and then head on out to Pomona. So losing your main sponsor, primary sponsor at that time of the year is very, very difficult. It's hard when you have time to get a sponsor, but it definitely makes it almost near impossible when you don't have any time. So at that point, we just kind of had to regroup. Fortunately, you know, Alan, he kind of worked his magic a little bit, and we were able to partner up with Guy Fieri and Knuckle Sandwich, and Toyota came on board this year, and they were able to help us start the season and get all the way on through Indy.
Now, that was pretty amazing, and the fact that you were able to, through your skill and your equipment, to make it into the countdown. And then another turn of events, Alan Johnson says, just can't do it, we're pulling out of the countdown. And then Don Schumacher comes along, and here you go, you're in the countdown again. And, round one at Z-Max wasn't so good, but you're in it, and you still got five races to go.
Yeah, and it was a crazy couple events, during that week. We kind of knew where we were at with Alan and Alan Johnson Racing as far as sponsorship wise. We knew we were in crunch time. Toyota, they gave it everything that they could to, you know, extend our season as much as possible, but we just weren't able to find any other sponsorship for the rest of 2015 season. So at that time, you know, Alan had to make that difficult decision, and it's tough for him. Alan's a competitor, and he wants to be out here racing, and, you know, it's his business with AJPE selling parts to a lot of his customers out here at the track. So, on top of it, losing a great group of guys that we have accumulated throughout the year or the years. And, he had to make that difficult decision after Indy that it just wasn't, we couldn't do it anymore. So at that time, I kind of had a couple messages from some people over at DSR that if I'd be interested, that I should probably give Don Schumacher a call. He had an opportunity with his Red Fuel Sandvik car that they didn't have a driver that was in the countdown. So at that time, I'm still under contract with Alan, and we're still looking for sponsorship for 2016 and beyond. But at that time, I called Alan and said, hey, what do you think if we put together a little program for the rest of the year, let me drive Don's car? And so at the time, Don, Alan, and I, we came to an agreement. It took us about 24 hours to come to an agreement on everything, and we were off to Charlotte. So it was, it's just bottom line, they want to make this sport better. You know, Don and Alan, they both have big hearts, you know, very understanding. I'm very grateful to both of them for, you know, understanding the situation and understanding, you know, I love to race. I want to be out here winning races, winning championships. And, we just want to do what's best for the sport. You know, the fans deserve it. The sponsors deserve it. And, definitely Coca-Cola and Mellow Yellow for, coming up with this countdown to the championship. They deserve to have 10 cars in the countdown.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, it's the chance for, you know, for you to actually compete for that the large Wally at the end of the year. And the fact that you actually made it through the season in that top 10 to get in there and just have it like basically seems like whenever something was about to happen, a rug got pulled out from under you. And fortunately, with, you know, I guess Alan Johnson wanted to make sure that you were going to represent him in a positive sense, which, you know, you would do anyway, and just to be able to land a ride for the six-race countdown with a quality team is a plus.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's just going to Charlotte, it took a little bit of adjusting for me as a driver. It's a completely different operation. I mean, for years, you know, Alan and I, we've been battling with this team in the DSR camp for, you know, for the countdown. And so to come over, it was kind of funny. There was a reference in the media room last weekend in Charlotte of, you know, this kind of seems like the Red Sox and the Yankees, you know, kind of you got that little bit of rivalry and you guys are always competing for championships. And then all of a sudden playoff time, you know, George Steinbrenner come over and you know, pick somebody up. And so, you know, it's kind of a little funny reference there, but, you know, it's just, like I said, it's, you know, Don and Alan, they definitely want what's best for the sport. And, you know, I want to compete. I want to be out here racing. I love being out here racing. So it was it's definitely a great opportunity. I'm very excited to be over here on this team. And, you know, and it's definitely a plus for this crew. You know, they've worked their butts off all this year to get a car into the countdown, and now they have an opportunity with that, with me driving. So, you know, hopefully we just do the best that we can and, you know, see where it takes us. You know, it's there's been a lot of crazy events that have gone on this year, but, you know, stuff like that, I think it just makes you a better person and makes you stronger and makes you work that much harder and appreciate, you know, the opportunities that you're given in the sport.
That's for sure. I mean, it's kind of weird, the situation. They had a car with no driver in the countdown, and you're a driver in the countdown with no car. And, yeah, it just seemed like it was meant to be for your sake and their sake to where you can compete and go on for that championship. As far as the beginning of the season, I mean, when I first saw that, it's like, did they tell you the reason why, or they just say, hey, we're just pulling out and that's it? I think I know why, but maybe – my assumption is right about that time was the, I think it was all political because of the Bo Bergdahl deal and the people they freed went to Qatar or Qatar, and I guess they just didn't want to take any backlash from it and they just up and left. But that's my opinion. I could be wrong.
Yeah, and to be honest, I never really got an answer out of it. It was just a situation where Sheikh Khaled and the country of Qatar decided to withdraw their sponsorship. I've talked with the Sheikh since then. You know, we've had some communication and stuff. I don't know. The way it was portrayed to me is that it wasn't, you know, completely his decision. But, you know, neither here nor there. It is what it is. You know, you can't really reflect on the past and worry about things that happened in the past. They were a great sponsor, you know, to us for many years. They came in and they provided a lot of jobs for a lot of people over here, and they were very good to us. You know, they definitely took care of us, and they were very grateful for what we did for them promoting their country. And, you know, I'm very grateful to them for what they gave me. So, you know, like I said, it's just, part of NHRA drag racing, you have sponsors come and go. You know, they're definitely not the first, and they won't be the last. But, you know, it's just, you know, like I said, I'm just thankful for the opportunity that they gave me. But, you know, definitely not going to look on the past or reflect on it. It just, you know, it's just the nature of the sport.
No, that's for sure. But I mean, especially a championship team where they have won between you, Larry Dixon, I mean, I can go down the line of championship drivers that have brought that trophy home for the team there. So, I mean, those are just a lot of shakeups in drag racing this year. John Force had to go from Ford to Chevys, and that made for interesting competition on the funny car side. And he lost the Castrol, which has been a longtime sponsor of his. And it's just weird how certain things change over. You get used to them for the past 5 or 6 years or whatever, and next thing you know, everybody's looking for something new, and that's pretty much what happened to you, only it happened a couple different times during in 1 year. And I mean, it seems a little gut-wrenching to me that just to have to go through that, even if you know it's coming, it's still kind of tough.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely tough. I mean, you know, you have to understand going into the sport, you know, especially as a driver, you know, you never want to take anything for granted. You never want to get too big for your britches, because it can all go away in an instant. So, you know, that's why I'm just very grateful for the opportunities that I've had. You know, there's been a lot of changes in the last couple of years. Everybody's really in the same boat, you know, just with the economy and you know, with how the sport's been. It's just been tough. It's been tough to not only find sponsorship but secure it. And you know, we're thankful to all the sponsors that are involved, you know, in NHRA, whether it's team or any competitor's team, because you know, you have to have competitors out here. So it's all the companies that are involved. You know, we're very grateful to them for what they do and believing in our sport. And you know, there's a lot of changes coming up this next year with NHRA, with the TV package, and a lot of other things that they're working towards with you know, new management over a new president over there at NHRA. So, you know, hopefully with these changes, we can continue to expand our sport and grow it and reach new audiences and you know, make the sport quite a bit bigger. You know, there's a lot of great perks to the sport that a lot of people don't realize. You know, sometimes the TV just doesn't do it justice. You know, coming out here so many times throughout the weekends, you know, when the fans come up to the pit, every ticket that you buy is a pit pass, so the fans are able to come to the pit and talk to the drivers and talk to the crew guys while we work on everything. And, you know, it's always neat to talk to first-time fans and hear their experiences of, you know, how excited they are and you know, how they smelling the nitro, and when they're sitting in the grandstands, when we go by at 330 miles an hour, how the grandstands rumble underneath them. And it's a great sport. We have a great product. We just have to expand it a little bit and keep pushing you know, definitely hit more households you know, it's just going to take time, but you know, hopefully, like I said, with these changes, we can make this TV package, you know, a little bit better to where, you know, the sponsors will be more interested in entertaining sponsorships with all these cars out here.
I think the problem with the TV package, maybe it's going to be addressed, I don't know, it's hard to say, because when they air eliminations and qualify, and that's not so much qualifying, but the elimination round on Sunday, it's always, like on the East Coast, it's late at night, and I can understand they have to edit, like, the dead spots out of, like, when they have to clean up the track and the safety safaris out there, and they take a couple hours to get things ready. They don't want to, I guess, you know, watching commentators talk stuff is something sometimes kind of, they run out of stories and things, but as far as like live airings would probably go a long way, and during prime time, I think would probably help a lot. And that's just my opinion from what I've noticed, and probably you guys too. And, you know, doing that live TV shot, like other forms of motorsports, probably would benefit a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And that's definitely something that we're all working towards. One thing that Pro has been working with all the race teams and the NHRA tech department is containing, you know, coming up with better containment devices for these top fuel cars. When you're dealing with 10,000 horsepower and nitromethane, stuff's going to blow up. You're not going to be able to stop that. So, but what you can try to contain is the oil and the amount of oil that goes on the track. So that's something that we're trying to work on containing the oil in our cars better. I know NHRA is working on track time cleanup, on coming up with other ways of cleaning up the oil quicker and faster. Because, yeah, in the end, we do need to go to live TV, you know, and that is the way to go right now, and we don't have that. We've had a couple live TV shows, which have been great. They've had great reviews, and we're excited about it, but we're definitely pushing towards the live TV side of it. There's a lot of other changes that could go with it that would make the sport better, but it's just it's going to take time. I don't think there's a bulletproof way to do it right now, but we're definitely working on it, and, you know, hopefully if we can continue to work on it and go that direction, you know, it's just all the better for the sport and all the better for the fans.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, now you're going on the race two this coming weekend in St. Louis, and coming off what was going on at Z-Max. I think everybody seemed – a lot of people seem to have problems, top contenders, top qualifiers and all that in all three divisions. And you had a little problem, I guess, yourself. What do you look forward to going into Z-Max now that St. Louis this weekend that you could take away from last weekend that – or maybe the track was a little bit of a problem too over there at Charlotte.
Yeah, the issue with Z-Max is, you know, they put new concrete down, and so, you know, this is some of the things are probably above my pay grade, but the way the starting line was last weekend, if you could get, you know, out the first 60 feet, you were fine, but just getting off, you know, out that first 60 feet was the issue. So it was just very bald, and the rubber wasn't sticking to the track. So, it was probably an issue for us first round. We smoked the tires. You know, it wasn't like it was a one-lane racetrack. It was that way in both lanes. So, you know, we accepted it. We had some other issues on our own that we were trying to work out. It's just, you know, with me being a new driver and in this car, you know, we were just missing it a little bit. We made two good runs in qualifying, but we were just off a little bit. So we're actually out here in Indianapolis right now. We're getting ready to test here in a couple hours. So, you know, we just want to kind of get some good baselines, you know, just for me and my driver weight and, you know, with how I drive the car and everything. So, you know, it just takes a little bit of adapting for, you know, them from, you know, to me as a driver and me to them and how they do their run procedures and run the car and everything. So, you know, we're definitely excited for St. Louis. You know, we know that this is a great race car. This car has been capable of winning for the last couple of years. So, you know, I'm excited. I have my Super Comp car out here this weekend as well. You know, I'm testing both cars today, and I'm going to be running both cars next weekend out there at St. Louis. And we're excited to go out there.
Well, that's cool. We wish you a lot of luck this weekend then in both cars. And thanks again for coming on. So hopefully from Gateway on out that things turn out in the positive for you and like to see you haul home that top fuel Wally.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day now.
You too.
There you have Sean Langdon. Driving for Don Schumacher Racing this coming, well, the rest of the countdown, really. I was looking for the ladder. They didn't really have it up on NHRA.com, so I can give you the rundown. The only top contender, believe it or not, that qualified third, was a third fastest qualifier, and went all the way with consistent running, was our guest last week, the defending pro stock champion, Erica Enders. She did it again. Got to congratulate her on winning three events in a row, the Natural Hat Trick. It's her seventh event win of the season. And she's getting it done, so we'd like to see, hope she goes on to St. Louis and stretches out that lead. She now has an 83-point lead. They say that's about five rounds, which is, you figure you get 20 points per round, four rounds is 80 points, and with that three-point drag over, so yeah, that's a five-round over Greg Anderson, who we talked about last week, where she's the guy that she likes to beat. All right, now, Sean is sitting points. He's 126 back. And, you know, all you have to do is win rounds and qualify good and get those bonus points. Antron Brown can be caught. He's your points leader right now. Tony Schumacher, the Sarge, is only right behind him with 9. So it's a tight battle up at the top. Larry Dixon, another guy that won a championship that used to drive for Alan Abbey Racing. He's third in the points. So it's pretty interesting. In the funny car, it was Del Worsham lead top. Tommy Johnson Jr., he's 6 points back. He was the points leader going into the final round, but it didn't happen. The only one who were is Erica, and she's looking for that second championship. So I'd like to see her win that second championship in a row. Anyway, off to the Cup side as we run out, as we're running out of time here. Denny Hamlin took the race again. It seemed like it all came down to the final restart. Three guys stayed out, and that was Denny Hamlin, Jeff Gordon, and Kurt Busch. And somehow Hamlin was able to get around the front two guys, which was Gordon and Busch. And once he got out in the clean air, he was able to hold off a hard-charging Carl Edwards, who was the first guy that made the best use of his four tires. Another Joe Gibbs teammate. Gordon, for some reason, had no grip whatsoever. He wound up fading the 14th. Martin Truex Jr., who was running up front, he took two tires. So he was the first guy out of the pits, and because he took the two tires. And he wound up fading he faded the 13th. So one guy with two tires and 13th, one guy with no tires and 14th, but how do you explain Denny Hamlin with no tires? He only led twice for 9 laps. Of course, half of those laps led was in the final restart. It was under 10 laps to go when the yellow was 10 laps to go when the yellow came out, and he was able to do that. So right now in the points, in the chase, the top 16 are. It's still Kenseth with the top seed. Denny Hamlin, Carl Edwards, and Kyle Busch are after him, but the only one that matters is that number 2 spot. This is still works on points and wins, but Denny Hamlin being he won, he moves on to the next round. So he doesn't have to really do anything for Loudon and Dover. He's already into He's still in the chase and for race number 4. So the rest of the top 16 are Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, Jimmy Johnson, Ryan Newman, Brad Keselowski, Dale Earnhardt Jr. in 10th, Truex in 11th, Gordon in 12th. Here's the 4 at the crunch right now. Jamie McMurray in 13th, Paul Menard in 14th, Clint Bowyer in 15th, and Kevin Harvick in 16th. The defending champ is down at the bottom. He's got to get out of that bottom 4 if he doesn't want to get eliminated to defend his title. Apparently, if you saw the race, you saw him and Jimmy Johnson get together and cut a tire, and Harvick went into the wall and smashed up his car, and he wound up finishing 42nd. He was the pole sitter. He had a fast car. He led 10 laps. And if you all saw the post-race, the little pushing and shoving, I could understand it. Johnson did not apologize to Harvick for it. So, you know, get a little bad blood brewing here. So there's 2 races to go. Loudon is going to be interesting. As far as the rest of the results of the top 10, I said Hamlin, Edwards, and Kurt Busch for top 3. 4th was Newman. Matt Kenseth was 5th. Joey Logano 6th. 7th, Kyle Larson, who's not in the chase. 8th, Brad Keselowski, 9th Kyle Busch, and 10th is Eric Amarola, who's also not in the chase. He was last year. But as we go to Loudon, we have to see what kind of thing that's going to be. I guess I don't know how I'm going to pick for Loudon. It's kind of a one of those weird tracks. It's the Magic Mile. And it should be kind of interesting on how that does. Let me see if I could find the results from last chase. There we go. The Sylvania 300. It's only a 300 miler. It's kind of depressing. But last year was Joey Logano, Kyle Larson. Kevin Harvick had a good run. I think I picked Kevin for this pass race, so I'm not going to pick him again. Jamie McMurray is up there. Jimmy Johnson up there. Amarola, Keselowski, Kyle Busch. And Dale Jr. Brian Vickers was in the top 10. So as far as winning go, I guess I'm going to have to make a pick. You know, I'm going to go with the Penske guy. I think I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski. He needs to get it together. I think he's going to be driving a little harder. He doesn't want to be on that bubble. So we're going to go with Brad K for this one. Even though Logano is driving a lot better with actually, I did pick Logano. So, you know what? I'm going to change my pick. I'm going to go with Harvick. He's a little bent out of shape. He's going to be a man possessed. He's down at the bottom of the pack in the chase. He's the defending champ, and we'll go with him. I wonder if anybody checked out my Facebook, Garage Talk Live Facebook page. I shared a picture up of John Force's tribute to Jeff Gordon because they were down in Charlotte. Go check that out. And it looks like the 24 car, only in the funny car version. So you got the 24 on the door. A thank you, Jeff Gordon, on the hood. The flames, the blue. It's really neat looking. So since Force had made the switch to Chevy after Ford pulled out, it's like being Jeff Gordon drives the AARP Drive to End Hunger Chevy. It used to be DuPont. I wish you'd go back to DuPont. But, you know, AARP is paying all that money. And they have the nerve to ask you to join when you hit 50 and pester the crap out of you. Seems like they smell blood. Join IRP. What are you going to do? Anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in today. We'll see you all next week with a wrap-up from Loudon. And try to get Gary Camp on from Dover to talk about the upcoming elimination race at the Monster Mile. And if you haven't been there, I used to cover that race till I moved down here. I've been going there for both races since 99. So they've done a lot with the track, and it's, you know, one of the ones that's different than the rest. But anyway, I'd like to thanks again for tuning in. Special thanks to Cynthia Gauthier, driver of the Monster Mutt Dalmatian, and NHRA Top Fuel driver and former champ, Sean Langdon. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good day and good racing. See you all next week.